Mostly just a bunch of spoiled brats who's had it too good and don't know what they've got and who've been brainwashed into thinking that there's, let me tell you something, you don't live in a perfect nation. There's none on this earth. And we live in a sin-cursed world. And there's always going to be injustices and inequities all through life. Hey, buck up, straighten up, and get a spine and get tough. Amen? And just expect to have a real bit of a rough time in life. But anyway, they are claiming that the police are the problem. Let me just tell you something. Our police are not our problem.
Amen.
Sin is our problem.
Amen.
And these are seven bulwarks I'm going to give you that are absolutely essential to a free civil society. Police are one of the seven, but they're sixth in line. And so what I'm going to do this morning is kind of start with the first one. Then I'm going to go with the second one. I'm going to show you how far back that God has policemen set as a bulwark for a free civil society and show you why it is not the police's problem what's going on in America. Far, far from it. Here is where the problem lies. Number one, in parenting. Parenting. These are all start with P. God gave them to me this week, and here we go. It starts with parenting. Proverbs 22, verse number 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 13, 24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Did you hear that? He that hateth, I don't care what Spock or anybody else told you. Kids need a whooping.
Amen.
God chastises every child he has. He said, if you be without chastisement, you're not his son. Let me tell you why these kids are marching in the street and trying to create anarchy. Because somebody didn't whip their backside when they was growing up. I'm telling you, a spoiled bunch of brats.
Amen.
And parenting is God's first bulwark to a civil society. And because parents are interested in pleasure and making money and even, you know, they want the kids out and gone and just want to live their life and haven't done what they need to do, as the Bible said, here's the problem. We're being taught that kids do not have a sinful nature. Kids have a sinful nature. The Bible said, as soon as they be born, they go astray speaking lies. Babies will lie to you. The Bible said, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means you ought to whip your child early. Let me just tell you something right now. I guarantee you right now, I've got six kids. If one of those kids was up in Springfield giving you a hard time, I'd get the other brothers and sisters and we'd go after them. You wouldn't have to mess with them.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not putting up this nonsense. And I'm a grandpa, and if one of my grandkids did it, I'll get their mom and daddy and I'll say, let's go get him. Police ought not have to put up with a bunch of sorry, low-down parents who won't raise their kids right, amen. I'm saying this to you that, let me tell you something right now. You know what? I'm going to blow some of you out of the saddle this morning. But if drug dealers, people who deal in drugs, were hung on the public square,
amen,
you wouldn't have much problem with youth in Wright County.
Amen.
And if those who use drugs were bullwhipped on the back, strapped to a tree over in Wright County there, you wouldn't have a drug problem. You wouldn't need drug rehabilitation. I have a drug rehabilitation solution.
Amen.
And it's biblical. The Bible said, but did you know the Bible does not teach prisons or at least penitentiaries? It has a holding place, which we might call the county jail, but their cases to be decided. They were either to get stripes, restitution, or death. Three things the Bible says to do with crime. And I'm just saying this to you in Genesis 18, 19, for I know him, God talking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. You know what he's saying? If the father of faith, if you claim to be a Christian, you're a Christian dad, God said that the father of faith commanded his children to obey the Lord and to do right. And God said, this is something I know about Abraham. He will command his children to walk after the Lord. Can he say that about you? We tend to think nowadays all kids just going to go through this, go through that. Yeah, they may, but I'm going to tell you something. They ought not do with your approval or your silence.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Do you know what the real problem is? There's about an 80% rate of no fathers in these cities. Bunch of fornicators, bunch of adulterers.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Bunch of sorry, low down idiots who all they want to do is satisfy their physical drives, and they don't care if a baby's born out of it or if a baby's killed out of it, and they go on to the next woman. Sorry, low down, wicked, worthless, hell-deserving crap. I'm telling you, listen to me. until this nation gets back to this book, it's a parenting problem. And I'll tell you boys something. You go out here and conceive a child and you don't take care of it, somebody will beat you half to death. There's not a snake crawls in Wright County worse than a man who'll conceive a child with a girl out here and you won't take care of that child. Somebody will whip your backside and knock half your teeth down your throat. You're sorry.
Amen.
Amen. No, I don't give a rip whether you say amen or not out there. I don't care. That's worthless. You want to know why we've got this mess? Failed, unbiblical parenting.
Amen.
Let me tell you right now, my daddy, when I was 13 years old, I got hot and cocky. And I'll tell you right now, my dad one night was going upstairs and I was up school acting like a rebel. I thought Bonnie and Clyde was the coolest people ever come across America. That's how you get screwed up, amen?
Right.
And I got rebellious. One night I was going upstairs, I was 13 years old, and my daddy let me get to the top of the stairs. He said, Reg, and in a way it didn't sound good. He said, I said, yes. He said, come down here and sit in front of me. I walked down there. He had been reading the paper. He laid that paper aside, had an ottoman set in front of his platform rocker. He said, you tell me what's going on at school. And I sputtered like an arc light, and he hit me. Now, you listen to me. My dad was a juvenile officer. Who are you going to call? Huh? Who are you going to call? Now, my dad took his hand. He hit me and I so hard. Now, I'm 13 years old, rolled me across our living room. I was rolling like a top. And whenever I got my bearings and looked up, he was on top of me with his foot on me, took his belt off and said, I'm going to whoop it out of you. I'm your daddy and I love you and you're not ruining your life.
Amen.
And he whooped the living daylights out of me. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can say, he changed the course of my history. I'll tell you what, right now, the honest truth about it, wasn't for my dad, I'd be in hell tonight. Yeah. This morning, that's where I'd be, burning in the fires of hell, wasn't for my dad. Some of you kids ain't had a dad that loves you enough to whoop the living daylights out of you and say, I'm not putting up with your garbage. Yeah. Some of you kids will smirk, talk back, do everything in the world to your mom and dad and lie to them like, I mean, I'm telling you, it's wicked. Some of you are disrespectful to your grandpas and your grandmas, you're disrespectful to your teachers, you're disrespectful to the cops. You make me sick and you make God sick, amen.
Right.
It's not right. Proverbs 29:18 says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight into thy soul. I want you to listen to what your Bible says. And I don't care if we like this or not. I've had a few dozen people comment and all this and send me messages, you know. And they're making fun of me believing the Bible. And they literally mock us guys down here in the country like we're a bunch of idiots, ain't got enough sense to crawl in a rock. I got news for them. I got this book. It's light. Amen.
Amen.
You listen to me. The ones who don't know what's going on is the one who don't know this book. Right. But you can agree. You can disagree with this if you want to. But you take it up with God this morning. I'm going to give you the Bible. Deuteronomy 21 verse 18 says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they had chastened him, in other words, they whipped him, they've done everything they could, they chastened him and tried to turn him, and he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. What's this? He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he may die. So shall you put away evil from among you. You say, that's just cruel. No, let me tell you what's cruel. We don't have any. A policeman told me this week. He said, Reggie, we arrest him. We got all the evidence. They go in there. They sentence them to 10 years. And they're out in how long, Paul? 5 months?
Maybe 2 years.
And he said, we're dealing repeatedly over and over. Let me tell you what's cruel. Is that we do not have justice and order in this country where our kids are becoming drug heads. Their lives are forever ruined. Their brains are fried. Their lives are messed up. Let me just tell you something. I can spot dope in the eyes of the kids. You can too.
Yeah.
A lot of these kids are walking around with this. And they'll look at you and their eyes. There's a reason they call it spaced out. I'm going to tell you something right now. If the law of this land was that, and parents brought them over, I'm going to tell you what, all dads would have to say, son, do you want to take a trip to Hartville? See, here's what God knows. Wicked, sinful. But if sentence is not executed speedily, the hearts are set on men to do wicked. Because they're not punished. The best, I'm telling you right now, you know why a lot of these liberals love all this junk? Because the more people that are on drugs and the more people that are messed up, the more government programs we got to have and the more tax dollars got to be sucked out of the working people. And it's a perpetuating mess.
Right. Amen.
I didn't mean to get off on all this stuff, but I'm wound up like an 8-day clock. Amen.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something, right? We need some parents.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what a dad told me yesterday. He said, Reggie, I got a little bit of trouble at school. And he said, I was home one night and I was writing some stuff. He said, my dad walked over and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing some stuff from school. Teacher gave me to do. How come she gave that to do? Well, it's kind of a punishment. He said, reach down. You go back to school and tell that whipper, whoop your backside. Said, don't ever send you no writing home again. If you did something wrong, you get a whooping. And if she won't give it to you, I'll come up here and give it to you. But we ain't going to have this writing stuff all night long. Let me tell you about when I was a boy in school. If you got in trouble with school, you was in trouble with your mom and dad.
Amen.
We need some parents, amen. You say, Reggie, you mean what you tell? I'm telling you right now. I was talking to a man yesterday. He's talking about all these divorces and stuff. I said, I'll tell you how to fix divorces. You take that man and woman, lock them up over in a cell in Hartville. I'll tell you, when you all decide you can live together, get along, love each other, we'll let you out. Until then, you're here, you're here. You say, oh, that'd be cruel and unusual punishment. No, it's not. You tell me how the kids are affected after mom and dad split up. You tell me what it's doing to this nation. That's what's cruel, is letting all this other garbage go on. Because if we did what the Bible said, if we did what the Bible said, it'd be like it was another boy. You wouldn't have to lock your car door. You wouldn't have to lock your house. Because people would be scared to do wrong. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about arbitrary mob violence. I'm talking about in a court of law. Okay. The second one is preachers. If the second line of bulwark is preachers, let me tell you what America is starving to death for, and that's the preachers. I'm honest with you. Preaching has turned into this here socially acceptable, want to be everybody's buddy business. How big can the church be, and how much the big offerings, and how can we make everybody feel good about themselves? And preachers quit preaching. They don't preach on sin no more. But you know what the Bible said? There come a time when people said, I don't want it. I ain't having it. Most preachers are scared if they preach on sin. I'm going to tell you what, I never forget my life. You know, it's nice to be young and dumb. I never forget going out and preaching. I'd preach and I'd say, you get all over the country, you get people sitting around and their whole world is just full of wickedness. And a preacher dare get up and say anything. I remember having long hair down to my shoulder. And I can remember almost daring a preacher to preach on it. I never had a preacher to preach on it. Let me tell you what almost cost me the ministry. I got such a low opinion of preachers, Brother Lutz, that I said they're all a bunch of stinking cowards. They're sitting all over these country, and they won't preach on people sitting in their pews. They're afraid of losing families.
Yep.
And let me tell you, you know what we need to pray? That God will raise up a generation of preachers. I'm going to ask every boy in this building today and every boy listening to me online, you want to do something worthwhile in life? Preach this book.
Amen.
Not to be somebody, to be a servant. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is to be proclaimed, and the Word of God needs to be proclaimed.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, what the inner cities need, the same thing us country folk need. We need the Word of God preached. The Bible said reprove, rebuke.
That's right.
Yeah. Preach the Word, the Bible said. Preach the Word.
Yeah.
Cry aloud and spare not. In season, out of season, whether they like it or don't like it. Amen.
Right.
Preach. Let me tell you the truth about it is, if the parents were parenting and the preachers were preaching, the police wouldn't have much policing to do.
Amen.
The problem is we got a bunch of parents who, they get mad. Watch this. They'll get mad at the preacher.
Yep.
They'll get mad at the policeman.
Yep.
I've seen it. Some idiot driving crazy, stop him. You'll deal with this drug head craziness. You don't have to put handcuffs on him. And then the mom and daddy comes down to the police station. You're abusing my child. You know what you ought to do? You ought to stick out your hand and say thank you for loving my son enough to stop him. I'm telling you right now, the Bible teaches that a pastor and a preacher of the churches ought to be the voice of God in the communities, in the counties, the state, and the nation, to bring to bear the righteous authority of Almighty God over people's lives. Let me tell you something. You'll never be able to hire enough policemen, never build enough prisons, never hire enough judges to take care of a chaotic nation. We're headed back to the jungle, folks. Let me tell you.
Right.
We're to bring to bear the righteous authority of God Almighty. You give me a child that's been born again of the Spirit of God, the fear of the Lord's in his heart. He don't worry about police being around. He worries about what God sees.
Amen.
And I'll just tell you that right now. If you don't have that in heart, there's something wrong with you. You say you're a Christian and you're more concerned about whether mom and daddy sees you, the cops sees you, instead of God seeing you, you don't know a thing about Christianity. The Bible teaches us that the preaching of the gospel is what it takes to win souls. You want to change a man's heart? You give him the gospel, let him be born again of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God begins to live in him, and you'll change that man's attitude, his conduct, his actions. You'll change his whole world. You can take somebody who used to rob banks and sell drugs and get them saved, and they'll stop that stuff. Amen?
Amen.
We need to teach the fear of the Lord and bear the message of God's love and God's redemption and preach and promote righteousness and not rebellion. The Bible said in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. The third area, and I've got to run. Number one, parenting is the first bulwark. Second is the preachers of the second bulwark that God puts in line. The third one is what I'll put it down as professors or teachers. And let me tell you right here where's a big problem. Why are we where we're at in America? Number one, we don't have parents that are teaching their children the fear of the Lord, raising them right, teaching them right, praying with them, reading the Bible, taking them to church, and telling them what's right and wrong and loving them enough to give them a whooping when they need it and say, you're going to do right, whether you like it or not. You see, until the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, mom and dad's going to have to get a hold of you. Then you ain't got parents that are doing right, so now you got preachers that are sitting up there preaching about lollipops and chewing gum. And the kid's sitting there in church, and he'd been out on Saturday night doping, drinking, fornicating. No preaching on nothing. Rebases his hell toward his own mom and dad. Has a bad attitude toward police and authority in general anywhere. Don't tell me how to live. So you got those two things. So here comes the teacher. Now, let me tell you something. There's not any higher. One of the highest, I think, callings in life is to be a teacher. My grandmother was a one-room school teacher for 20 years in Douglas County, and she walked or rode a horse to teach. She would build the fire when she got there, and she would take off those kids' shoes and rub their feet in those snow when they got there. And I mean, tell you what, but I'm going to tell you right now, you know what she did every morning? She started off with prayer, reciting scripture, reading scripture, and a saluting to the flag.
Amen.
But let me tell you what's going on in America right now. There's been a vacuum out of our schools, our public schools, of the God's word, of prayer, of righteousness, vacuumed out. It's been filled with the humanistic philosophies of life. Then they come from that on up to the colleges and universities to where they're being taught by anarchists and God haters and communists who are living off of hardworking Americans' tax dollars. If I had my way about it, we'd shut down everything except vocational things that really taught people, sciences and so forth. All this sitting around about sociology class. Learning how to be a community activist.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Bunch of junk.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, teachers ought to teach the truth.
Amen.
There used to be a time in this country when teachers taught what was right and taught what was wrong, condemned that which was ungodly, and upheld that which was right. We were a great nation when that happened. But I tell you, they've muzzled the mouths of teachers in this country now. And in that vacuum has come all these false and damning philosophies that are manifesting themselves in godless anarchy, and you're witnessing today. And I'll give you the examples of a Darwinian evolution. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't believe in evolution and believe in God. They're diametrically opposed. Don't give me a theistic evolution garbage. That won't work. Even an evolutionist will tell you that's stupid. Marxism has infiltrated our colleges and universities. The head of BLM is an avid supporter of Chavez down in Venezuela. Yes, sir. Check me out. They're Marxists. Do you know what Marxism did? Killed 20 million people right off the bat that didn't go along with them. Slaughtered them like hogs. Stalin, Lenin. If you think, I'm going to tell you right now, anybody listen to me, ever listen to this, or you sitting in this building, you think Marxism and communism and socialism is any kind of good form, buddy, you head to Venezuela, get you a plane ticket. I'll buy your plane ticket to Venezuela, but you got to stay there 6 years. You ain't coming back very fast, that's what I'm saying. And you live down there, and then you come back and you tell us. It's an unsuccessful thing. I have been in Russia. Don't tell me about it. I know what goes on. Those people are afraid to look you in the eye. They're so cowed down, they don't know who's a spy, they don't know who's a snitch. Everybody's afraid to say anything, fear somebody hears something they said, tell the police. You don't know anything about it. And they're sitting over here in these colleges and teaching our kids Marxism and Darwinism and all this junk that has put more people in bondage and slavery and poverty than anything in the world. Then there's humanism, that man is his own God, and pluralism and multiculturalism. Can I tell you something? I wouldn't give you a dime for pluralism, multiculturalism. I have an American culture. Amen. And it's better than any culture in the world.
Amen.
And I don't want your multiculturalism.
Right.
What you're doing is slipping in and trying to destroy what we got.
Yeah. Amen.
And tell us that we're not open-minded if we don't swallow your garbage. We don't want your garbage. Our forefathers come over. They were persecuted by the Pope. They were burned at the stake and fed to the lions. And they wanted freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of press. And they wanted a Second Amendment so they could defend themselves when they needed to.
Right.
By the way, let me tell you something's going on. I don't know if you're keeping up with it or not, but the gun sales in America is shooting through the sky. Not through the ceiling, shooting through the sky. It's gotten so bad the liberals are buying guns. Amen. Yeah. They're not as stupid as you. Yeah. And so anyway, I'm saying this to you, that we have the parents, and then we have the pastors, and then we have the professors, the teachers. But the next line in God's book is politicians. And I just use that word as far as rulers go. God ordained authority. And let me tell you something. Session will start up again in January up there in Jefferson City. Let me tell you what will be on the dockets to pass. Dockets of all kinds of stuff. This marijuana garbage, sodomy. They'll want to teach your kids sodomy and transgenderism and all that garbage in these schools. And they want to force your kids to sit in those classes. And all that stuff's up there. And we need men and women in that chamber who will stand up and say, this ain't passing.
Amen.
It'll pass over my dead body.
Amen.
And we need them who'll make just laws through the word of God.
Amen.
Just laws based upon... You see, here's the thing. If we're a nation of the rule of law, think about this question. Whose law? It's not enough to say we're a nation under this rule by laws, not by men. But whose laws? The great battle going on in our country is whose laws are we going to live under? Man's humanistic, ungodly laws, which are never just and are never fair and are never balanced and are never equitable? Or are we going to live under God's holy law? Now, I had a guy throw at me this week from Philadelphia. People like to hide behind their phones, right? They're tough behind their phones. And he threatened to shoot me and my wife and said he was going to spit on us and then shoot us. And I said, come on down. Help yourself. But anyway, let me just say this to you. You get all this garbage about I've lost my train of thought. I shouldn't have said that. God judges. I don't. What's going on in my world ain't none of your worry. Lord, help me. Stay on track. I need help. God, I humble myself before you. I need to stay on track. Help me not get in the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. But I just want to say this to you, that we need men and women raised up who will be judges, who will judge right. We need people in office who will make laws that are based upon biblical principles, upon biblical truth. And I just want to encourage you today in this message. Let's be parents, raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's be the preachers and the pastors that we ought to be. Oh, how we need pastors. I'm thinking of Bobby Bachman. And I wish Bobby wouldn't have moved to Africa. But I'm thinking of some other men right now. These inner cities folks need preachers so bad, it's not even funny. our country needs everywhere. We need preachers bad. But then, as I said, the professors and the politicians and the judges, we need those that will do right. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and we need to stand with it. Then number five, the policeman. And I'm not going to read Romans 13 for sake of time this morning, but they're a minister of God for good. Policing is a ministry, and it's a ministry ordained of God. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 9 talks about the centurion who was under authority. If parents and preachers and professors and politicians were doing their jobs, a policeman's job would be enjoyable. But what's happened, Brother Paul, what you're dealing with is, and I want to do something right now. Would you care, couple, come up here, please, and just stand right here in front, right here. So here's what we're going to have. Give me the order. Right. So this is going to be the parents right here. That's the first bulwark of God. All right? I want somebody come up here and we're preaching. Represent a preacher. Who's going to come up here and represent a preacher? Anybody want to come up? Brother Jerry, would you come? All right. And I need a teacher. Sister Allison, would you come? And so here's, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Brother Jeremy, you stand right here. Sister Allison, you're going to be here. All right. And that's third one. So then we need a politician. Who wants to be a politician? Amen. You got it? Huh? Where's she at? Is she here? She ain't here? She was? I don't know where she's at. Anybody want to be a politician? Come on. There, we got one coming right now. Amen. All right, he's going to come. And so then we've got the policeman. And so I want one of you policemen to come up and stand. And you'll kind of come up just a little bit more to make this row and kind of give you a good... Huh? Yeah. All right. And so go on down to the next one, guys. Put the next ones on here because we're going to cut this thing and get them out. All right. Now, the next things I have down here is prisons and princes, okay, and the prince. But here's what we've got. Zeb, would you care to help me this morning? Would you care? I'd appreciate it if you would. Zeb, I want you to pretend that you're way off the deep end. Don't take much pretending, right? Okay. No. But here's Zeb. He's a young man. Okay. I would like for one of you young boys, would you be all right if one of them young boys come up here? All right. All right. Now, here's these two young men. And here's what's happened. I want y'all to turn just a little bit this way to me. Here is what God has in front of these men to keep them out of prison. Now, when I say prison, I'm not just talking about a jailhouse. I'm talking about hell. Because there's more than just prisons in Jeff City or Wright County and county jails. God has so ordained, boys, that as you're going through life, the first bulwark that God's going to put in your life is your mom and dad. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. And I'm going to tell you something. Is anybody in here a jailer? We got any jailers? I want somebody. Brother Lawrence, would you stand up down there and just kind of stand beyond those guys, would you? And be our jailer. Brother Ralph, I want you to stand up on that platform down there. And you're going to be representative of the prince. Okay, just stand up on that platform higher. All right. Now, here's what's going on. What God is trying to teach us today is that if you won't pay attention to your parents, you buck them, it's a highly likelihood that you will not pay attention to the preacher. And that's a highly likelihood that you won't pay attention to a teacher, even if she's godly. But it could be that if you reject that and reject this, that here's, and you get into this, you may go into a place where they're telling you lies. They're undermining truth. They're undermining righteousness. And now you're coming down to a politician and he's up there making laws. You listen to me. We've got big trouble with these mayors and governors who won't take care of this stuff. And I'm telling you right now, I know we all laugh and say politician, he. But are we going to sit back here and let the heathen fill the slots? Or are we going to run for office? Do you know why Seattle's got six blocks taken over by a bunch of pagan heathens today? No leader. God says that the church is to be salt and light. And I want to tell you honestly the truth. What they need is a mayor or a governor stand up and say, listen, I love every one of you young people or anybody out here doing this. We love you. You're part of our state. You're part of our city. But you're not going to destroy this. And if you have a problem, you're going to go about it in the right way. You're going to address the problem legislatively and petition, voting. You're going to do it right. I'm going to give you till this time to be out of that square. If you're not out of there, you're going to wish you was. Not putting up with it. Let me tell you something about Americans right now. They're wondering, do we have leadership? Do we have leadership? Let me just tell you something. And I'll say this humbly as I know how to. I've had over 5,000 comments on one of my clips the last 2 weeks. And invariably the message is this. Thank you for saying what needs to be said. Amen. We're needing leadership. Somebody needs to say the truth. America's waiting. And so you boys, you come down through here and here's a politician. If he's not a Christian and he's going up there, he'll make laws that will feed into your sinful, wicked desires. Then we have the police. Now watch this. After you have rejected that God-ordained bulwark and that God-ordained bulwark and that one, this guy's going to have to put up with you. Watch this. By the time you get to him, you all have a bad attitude because you think nobody's supposed to tell you what to do. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you would like to be a policeman in Atlanta this morning? With the attitude that's out there. It is not, you listen to me, this is what we're having, law enforcement appreciation. It is not their fault. It's their fault, their fault, their fault, their fault. And now all of a sudden, we're going to hang it on them. This is nuts. This is nuts. I point my finger at you and I wouldn't mean it. He is not nuts. Okay? What is nuts is blaming our law officers. When they're dealing with a bunch of sorry low-down parents and preachers and teachers and politicians who haven't done their job.
Amen.
And then what's going to happen? He's going to hand you over to him, to prison. Because let me tell you something. I don't care how much they riot. I don't care how many buildings they burn. When it's all washed out and done, there's still going to be prisons.
Amen.
Yeah. But the problem is that this prison is only one of God's last bulwarks to turn you. Because this is a physical prison. And if you don't turn and repent and place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to wind up in the prison of hell forever and forever. Look at what God's got in front trying to stop you. And then if you come here and you say, I don't give a rip, and you're ruined, and I know Brother Paul, Brother Ralph don't look like the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's going to stand in for him this morning. What is going to happen is at the end of the road of your life, you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Glory. And let me tell you what you're going to do. Your rebellion's going to be over with. Yeah. Listen to me carefully. I want everybody to listen to me. Does God love everybody? Yes, he does.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But is everybody going to heaven?
No.
Why not? God loves you. If you will not turn from your rebellion, and you come before this, and by Jesus Christ is the judge of all the earth. And let me tell you what you're not going to want to hear. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you think God is kidding about that, you're in bad shape. Most people are going to go to hell in this world because they will not. Look what God has put in front of eternity. All these people. But the main thing I want to say this morning and get across to us is that it is not the police department and law enforcement's problem. It is a problem that started way up here. It started in the heart. And then went from there to there to there to there. And I want all of us this morning to make a commitment to God that whether you're a parent, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a politician, whether you're a policeman, or whether you're a prison keeper, let's be salt and light and live for God and do what we ought to do, because this nation's hanging on it right now. And I want to encourage you today this way. You got to start. Here's the truth about it is, this is the beauty and the reason Christianity is the exclusive right religion in the world. I don't call it a religion, but just so people understand. Christianity is the only one that'll start, watch this, there. Because in truth and reality, they can't stop it. And he can't stop it. And she can't stop it. And he can't stop it. And they might throw them in jail. And he might put the keys on them. But what God wants to happen to you is that you get to where, watch this, that if there were no parents, and for a lot of kids there's not, if there were no preachers, and a lot of kids there's not, and if there were no teachers, and if there were no politicians, and if you were in the world without any of that, you would say in your heart, I'm going to do what's right because of the Prince.
Amen.
Christianity changes the way you think, talk, believe, act, everything. And it does it from within. And when it's done from within, you don't need all the externals. This is why parents need to teach their children the fear of the Lord. Let's stand together.
Amen.